This is fear I've had for years, being the pastor here, that one Sunday morning I'm not going to get out of bed. For whatever reason it might be, I'm going to oversleep, be lazy, whatever, and I'm going to miss church on Sunday morning. Now, I know some of you do that, but I don't have that luxury. But all of us have missed things in our life. Maybe in an airport, your flight was late, so you missed your connection. Maybe you've had to miss some of your children's events because you had to work. Maybe you've had to miss special events, parties, birthdays, whatever, weddings, because you got sick. That's how life is. But I believe a lot of people miss out on Christmas every year. Not the cultural part of Christmas, you know, going to parties, being off work, being off school, shopping, the gifts. What I mean is that they miss Christmas, is they miss what Christmas is truly all about. The miracle of the birth of Jesus Christ, second person of the Trinity, God eternally, who willingly chose to be inside the womb of Mary and to be born into a manger Christmas day. Deity took upon humanity without losing any deity. And God came in the flesh to eventually, he came to go to the cross to pay the penalty for the sins of the world. Christmas was such a big deal that even our calendars reflect that, right? B.C., before Christ. A.D., the Latin term, Anno Domini, the year of the Lord. But I don't believe that the birth of Jesus just affected the calendar. His birth affected humanity like no other human being who's ever been born. Today, we're going to look at the people who miss Christmas. Now, I'm speaking about various people that first Christmas that we call it. I'm going to use that term when Jesus was born. We're not sure exactly if it was December 25th or not. But people who missed that first Christmas and could have been part of it. And as we look at that, I believe there are many similarities to today, people who still miss Christmas. We're going to look at four people or four groups of people. The first person who missed Christmas, I believe, was the innkeeper, Luke 2:7. And she gave, Mary, gave birth to a firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Luke 2:1 tells us that the Roman emperor, Caesar Augustus, who was emperor from 27 BC to 14 AD, had declared that there would be a census in all the Roman world. And so Mary and Joseph traveled from where they lived in Nazareth to Bethlehem in order to register for the required census. Luke 2, chapter 2, verses 3 and 4 tells us more about it, that you had to go to your hometown where your family was from. Joseph had to go to Bethlehem because he was a descendant of King David, who was born in Bethlehem. Now, Bethlehem at that time, figures vary, but experts seem to think that its population at the time of Jesus' birth would have probably been below 1,000 people. Small in size, but not small in honor. Bethlehem fulfilled a prophecy more than 700 years before that, made by the prophet Micah 5:2, which says this. This is God speaking. But as for you, Bethlehem, Ephratah, too little to be among the clans of Judah. From you, Bethlehem, one will go forth from me to be the ruler in Israel. His going forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. God is speaking to this place. Bethlehem's the town. Ephratah is the region that Bethlehem is in, the district that it's in. Small but very important. 1 Samuel 16:1 tells us it's the birthplace of David. 1040 BC. I'm giving you all these dates because when you think about these dates in history, real time, real place, it mattered. And so Micah, the prophet, writing this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he says that from you, Bethlehem, one will come forth from me. From me, God speaking. His goings forth are from long ago, from days of eternity. He's speaking of eternity past. That born into Bethlehem will come someone who will eventually be ruler in Israel. This prophecy, which takes place when Jesus is born. So Joseph and Mary arrive at the inn, and there's no place to stay. Scripture doesn't tell us who met him there. An innkeeper. We're just assuming that. Somebody had to meet them and tell them that there was no room. Might have been a man. Probably was a man. Could have been a woman. But whoever the innkeeper was, he was confronted with this young Jewish woman. She might have been in her early teens, possibly. About to have a baby any moment now. And a husband with him. But he had to turn them away. He had no room for them. Now, again, we don't know anything about him. He might have been very kind. He might have been very apologetic that he couldn't accommodate them. We don't know what the inn was. The Greek word is a lodging place. Could have been a guest room. Could have been a hostel. It could have just been a shelter. You know, like a modern day, could have been a modern day bed and breakfast, Motel 6. A KOA camp, we don't know. But they show up. In any event, the only place available for them was a manger, which was a feeding trough for animals. So they go out there, and Mary gives birth. Now, this innkeeper was so close to the most important birth in history, yet he missed it. He had no idea how special his child was. Why did he miss the birth of Jesus? Well, I believe Bethlehem then, like now, like Christmas today, was full of unusual activity. Hustle and bustle, running around. Then people were coming there. Thousands probably came. If you were a descendant of David, you had to go to your town, where David came from. So there might have been, the town might have swollen many, many times over. And so there was a lot of activity, just like Christmas is today. So I believe that the innkeeper missed Christmas that day because he was preoccupied. He was too busy. There's no evidence that he was hostile or even unsympathetic to Joseph and Mary. I think people today are exactly the same. People are people wherever you go. It's so easy to get so busy, so preoccupied with things that you must do. You must go shopping. You must go to this party. You must go to this activity. You must do this. You must do that, running about. And as a result, people today miss Christmas. They miss the spirit of Christmas, the true meaning of Christmas. The birth of Jesus Christ, God coming into the world and all that it implies. So I believe this innkeeper missed the first Christmas because he was too preoccupied. Second person who missed Christmas was Herod. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who was born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." Herod the Great, he's called. He reigned from 37 BC to 4 AD. He's often called the king of the Jews, even though he was not Jewish. Go back to the Old Testament, the book of Genesis. Twins were born, Jacob and Esau. From Jacob becomes the godly line that David will come through, and eventually Christ will come through. Through Esau came a line of people called the Edomites. And Herod was an Edomite, so he wasn't even Jewish. And he really didn't have much of a kingdom, even though he was called the king. His father had done favors for Rome, and out of gratitude, Rome had given Herod this position, this kingdom. It wasn't really that he had all his power. He was under Rome's jurisdiction. He was a puppet king. He was the consummate politician. If things were going the way of Rome, he sided with Rome. If things were going the way of the Jews, he sided with the Jews. Herod was a very wealthy man. And Herod could have found Christmas that day and could have found Jesus. Wise men from the east came inquiring about this. They were asking about the Messiah. But Herod saw this as a threat to himself, a threat to his kingdom. Herod wasn't ignorant. He wasn't uninformed. He knew. Verse 3, though. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. He was troubled. He was agitated. He was stirred up. You know, a washing machine has an agitator in it. That's where this word comes from, right here. Now, Herod was known for his great cruelty. He had killed at least 3 of his sons. He felt that they were a threat to his throne. He had one of his wives killed, maybe more. And so Herod speaks to the Magi. Matthew 2:8 tells us, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child, and when you found him, report to me so that I too may come and worship him. He says he wants to go, tells the Magi, go find the baby, come tell me, because I want to worship the baby too. Of course, we know he's lying through his teeth. He has no intention of worshiping this baby. He wants to have him found, and he wants him put to death. Why? Well, I believe Herod, why he missed Christmas was because of self-interest. Everything was about him. He wanted no competition for his throne. As I said, at least 3 of his sons were put to death by him because he feared them. His supremacy was in jeopardy. Even though this was a little baby, a newborn, he was threatened by it. And he was enraged that the Magi didn't come back and tell him where this baby was, where this baby was born at. So God had spoke to the Magi, told them to leave, go another way home. And so what does Herod do? He has all the male children under 2 years old put to death in Bethlehem. Now, let me say right now, that probably wasn't hundreds, might not even been dozens. It was a small town. But I mean, even one was enough. If you were under 2 and you were male, Herod had you put to death. Now, I think today people miss Christmas too because they're a lot like Herod. Not murderers, but because of self-interest. To protect self. They don't want anything or anybody, anywhere, anytime, telling them what to do, how to do it, when to do it, where to do it. And that includes the Almighty Lord who created them. They don't want anything to interfere with their plans, to threaten their dreams, their lifestyle. So I believe people miss Christmas today and they stiff-arm Jesus, not because of intellectual reasons, but mainly because of moral reasons. Because they know if they submit the moral authority of the universe, they're accountable to him, which all of us will be anyway. So Herod was fearful of losing self-determination. His motto, like many people's motto, is, I'm master of my fate and captain of my soul. I run my show. I don't bow my knee to anyone. I guard my priorities, my values, my morals at all costs. So they will not come to Jesus because they fear he will cramp their style. Well, I'm just going to disagree with that as strong as I can. Jesus calls people to himself. He calls people to himself just as they are. He doesn't say, okay, you need to change this, this, and that, and then come to me. He doesn't say, well, you need to do some penance first. And you do these things, then come to me. No, he calls them just as they are. And anyone who comes to him by faith, he begins this incredible inner transformation that begins on the inside, not on the outside. And as he begins to change you on the inside, it begins to affect your whole life. He begins by changing you with your worldview. And this change, it's a continuing process that'll continue until that person sees Jesus face to face at death. It's an inside job. And in doing so, I believe God makes those people into the person he created them to be. It doesn't cramp their style, it causes them to flourish. But Herod missed Christmas because of self-interest. There's a third group who missed Christmas. That was the religious leaders. Matthew 2:4. Gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what has been written by the prophet. The chief priests and the scribes, they were the theologians of the day. They were the scriptural experts. Now notice this, they were of the people. They were the leaders, they were the influencers of the Jewish people. They impacted them by their teaching and how they interpreted scripture. And so they knew from Micah 5:2 exactly where the Messiah would be born. Now Bethlehem is about a 5-mile walk from Jerusalem. Sadly, these experts had the right information but were personally uninterested by meeting the Messiah for themselves, by taking this half a day walk. Verse 6. And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah. For out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. The ruler who would come, the baby born in the manger, would eventually shepherd the people of Israel. Now, you got to understand, when Jesus was born that first Christmas, Rome was over all of Israel, all the people. The Jews hated the Romans. They wanted to throw the yoke of slavery that they put upon them off. And so when Messiah came, when Jesus came, they were expecting a king, a military ruler. Now, the Old Testament is very clear about Jesus. He's going to have two advents, two comings to planet Earth. The first one, when he came at the first Christmas right here, he came as what? A gentle lamb. He came to take away the sins of the world. He welcomed everybody who came to him. He was the most loving, compassionate person who's ever walked the planet. The Jews, from certain scripture, they could know that. Psalm 22, Isaiah 53. But they wanted the reigning king. They wanted the line of Judah who would come and establish his kingdom, who would rule with a rod of iron. He's going to do that. That'll be the second time, his second advent, when he comes back, and he's going to come back one day. So they missed him. Now, why did they miss him? The word I'm going to use is indifference, a lack of interest or concern. They didn't care. They didn't care because they were self-righteous. They didn't need him. It says in the gospel, hey, we're born, we're of Abraham's seed. We were born in the right nation, at the right, under the right heritage. That's enough. Sons of Abraham we are. I think people today do the same thing. They think because they're born in America or they're raised in some religious system, that's enough. I don't need anything else. That's enough to get me into heaven. Jesus often addressed that concern. In Matthew 9:12, he says this. It is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. Jesus' primary ministry to those who had problems, and they knew it. It wasn't to the self-righteous religious leaders who thought they were better than everybody else. Jesus came to broken people who are broken and they know that they can't fix themselves. Matthew 13, Jesus says, I did not come to call the righteous but sinners. The righteous, those who think that they are right with God. I don't need any change, just leave me alone. But sinners, those who recognize their sin and actively seek forgiveness from God. They miss Christmas because of indifference. And I think that the root of indifference is pride. Pride, thinking that you are more or better than you really are. And most people today, that's the problem. Man, I don't need a savior. I'm not that bad of a person. I've never murdered anybody. Of course you haven't. I mean, people have. I'm not as bad as my neighbor across the street or the guy I work with. They don't openly oppose Jesus, not hostile to Jesus. They just ignore him, indifferent. They don't need a cure or remedy because they don't believe they have the disease, which all of us have. That disease is sin. It doesn't mean we're bad people. It means that we're separated from God because of sin. Every single one of us who's ever been born on this planet, except for Jesus Christ, have that disease. It's inherent in us. And sin means that we haven't followed God in thought, word, or deed. We've broken his commandments. We've all done that. And so these religious leaders missed Christmas that day because they were indifferent. We don't really need that. But there was a fourth group who missed Christmas. The Jerusalem inhabitants, Luke 2:10. But the angel said to them, the shepherds, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there's been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. The angel speaking to the shepherds, who were some of the lowest and most despised social group in all society. But God sent these angels to speak to them. And he does. And so they acted upon it. Luke 2:17. They go to the manger. When they'd seen this, they made known the statement which was been told to them about this Christ. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told to them by the shepherds. This lowly band of shepherds witnessed the greatest event that had ever taken place. God, born in a manger. And what did they do? They couldn't hold it in. They went back and told everybody about it. You're not going to believe what we saw today. You're not going to believe what we heard. Verse 20, the shepherds went back glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as been told them. They were overwhelmed. Now, Scripture indicates that it doesn't seem like everybody who heard them, no one responded to it. Well, where's that? I want to go see it for myself. No one did that. Why? I think why the Jerusalem inhabitants missed Christmas that day was because of religion. Now, let me explain that. Religion itself is not bad. Religion is just a specific set of beliefs. Beliefs, I think I'm religious. Now, I know people say, I'm not religious, I'm spiritual. Well, religious is based on beliefs. Beliefs are laid out in the Bible. And what I mean by religion is this. Religious rituals that people perform that they think they are gaining favor with God. Predominantly performing outward demonstrations to think that God is so glad to have him in his presence. Rituals. Now, why do I say that? As we saw in Matthew 2:4, it said the chief priests and scribes, they were of the people. The Jerusalem inhabitants, the Jewish people, were influenced by the teaching of the chief priests and scribes. And when Jesus was born, they had developed a system made up of many rules and regulations. They took the Old Testament scripture, legitimate things that God told the Jews to do and not to do, but they took them and added to them. They added their own traditions to them. And they put them upon the people. You must do this. You can't do that. And so the people cowered to that. They were afraid. So what was their influence? The influence was not a heart worship of God, but continually outward rote rituals to demonstrate how wonderful and pious they were. So the religious leaders influenced the people. And they were busy worshiping the right God in the wrong way. They made it all about externals. They had abandoned the heart of faith. And the Old Testament makes it clear it's about inner faith. It's about the heart. 1 Samuel 15:22, the prophet Samuel said this: "Has the Lord as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams." Excuse me. King David in Psalm 51:6, "Behold, you desire truth in the innermost being." Psalm 51:10, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." Psalm 51:17, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." David had sinned, but he knew it was about the heart. He knew it was against God and God only that he sinned against. Micah 6:8, the prophet Micah, God speaking: "Has he told you, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of you, but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God?" When Jesus came, the Jewish people, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, thought it was all about rituals and rules, and that was the way to be spiritual. And so because of religious rituals, those Jewish inhabitants, Jerusalem inhabitants, missed Christmas. The shepherds came and told them. They could have gone and seen for themselves, but they didn't. So the innkeeper, Herod, religious leaders, and the Jerusalem inhabitants missed Christmas. But there were people who found Christmas. Although many who did not find it, others who did find it. They weren't the kings of the world. They were not religious leaders. They were not caught up in materialistic lifestyles. Nor were they the ones who thought they could impress God by what they did. Who were they? Just regular people who were looking to God, who knew that they couldn't do it on their own, who looked above and beyond and further than themselves. And by their looking to him, he came to them. The shepherds, the magi. Luke chapter 2 tells us two elderly people in Jerusalem, a man named Simeon and a lady named Anna, who were looking for the consolation of Israel, who were waiting for the Messiah. And they were able to see the Messiah before they died. So some people found Christmas. Why? Why did they find Christmas, the true meaning of the baby in the manger, who was the long-expected anointed one of God? Two reasons, I think. First, they were honest enough to admit their needs. They were not so self-sufficient, so high and mighty, so important, so self-righteous. They knew they needed a Savior, that they were broken, that something had to change. Second, though, they were humble enough to receive the Lord Jesus Christ when he arrived. Now listen, for sure there were different levels of comprehension. But what they did understand, they praised God for the baby in the manger. Now I want to close with this. I don't believe anyone has to miss Christmas. Preoccupation, self-interest, indifference, religious rituals are all the same expressions of one reason why people miss Christmas. And that reason is unbelief. Unbelief. Well, I don't believe that there in that manger that day that was truly God in the flesh who took upon humanity. Or maybe, oh yeah, I believe that he was, but, you know, it doesn't really matter to me. I don't know if he died for my sins or not. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. Unbelief. But the Bible says, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe on him should not perish but have eternal life. Even though you give and receive presents, decorate a tree, put lights on your house, might even sing Christmas carols, maybe you've been missing Christmas. Deep down, you know something's missing. Deep down in your soul, there's an ache there, there's a longing there, there's a hole there that you've tried to fill, and it just hasn't worked yet. Because the only way it could be filled is through Jesus Christ. Now, you might get some incredible presents that you've longed for, that you wanted, but over time, the newness and the shininess eventually wears off. And even if it doesn't, no matter what present you receive, you can't take it with you into the next life. What Jesus gives is eternal salvation, forgiveness of sins, an ongoing relationship with the living God, peace with God, and eventually eternal life with a new glorified body forever. None of those things, anyone, anything, anytime, any place can take away from you. That salvation is protected by the power of the Almighty, omnipotent God of the universe. It'll never fade away. It'll never rust away or can never be stolen from you. It's a gift of God that can be received only by faith. You can't buy it. You can't earn it. It's more precious than any present that you'll ever receive. The Gospel of John, John writes in John 1:10, Jesus was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. The world, this creation that Jesus was part of making. When he came Christmas Day, most of the world didn't bat an eye, didn't mean anything, just another day. John 1:11, he came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. His own, the Jewish people. He came to them first. Most of them did not receive him. But then verse 12, but to as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. The Bible says, turn from your unbelief and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. He will forgive your sins, all of them. He'll change your life. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. And he'll welcome you home into his presence one day. He's the greatest Christmas gift anyone can ever receive. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for Christmas. I thank you for Jesus. I thank you for the whole Christmas season. I'm not saying it's bad. I like the family, the eating, friends, activity. Those are good. But even greater is below that. It comes down to the heart. And I thank you that Jesus Christ, that baby in the manger, came, grew up, died on the cross, was buried, rose from the dead, ascended into heaven, is at the right hand of God, and is coming back one day. I thank you that all got put into motion when Christ was born in the manger that Christmas day. So I pray for everyone here. I pray that they have a wonderful Christmas, whatever that might mean. But I also pray, Lord, that they might consider who Jesus really is, that he was God in the flesh. And if that's true, that changes everything. God, the invisible God, the created God who came into this world. So I pray for all of us that we might consider these claims. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.